Hi, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Joelle Fawcett, and this is season 3 of the Soul Method podcast.
Life is a winding road, no telling where it goes. Driving through days and nights, won't stop for traffic light.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Joelle Fawcett, and I am your host and the founder of The Soul Method, where our mission is to be your guide, to heal from the past, be at peace in the present, and create a future you love. And welcome to Season 3, Episode 1. Of the Soul Method podcast. And all right, it's been like a month, right? It's been a month. And for those of you who know me and know what's been going on in my life, it's been a very full month. I went through some major transitions in my life, and we are going to talk about it. Today, we are going to talk about transitions. We are going to talk about anger, and we are going to build on the last episode of season 2, which was all about love. Because whether you know it now or not, anger and love always coexist when you are in authentic alignment. So, okay. Let's just go ahead and say the elephant in the room. Joe and I ended our relationship, and I want to thank each and every one of you who have reached out to me or reached out to him as we have gone through this process. It has certainly not been easy. There's still a lot of emotions going on around that. It would be impossible for there not to be. There will be a grieving period. There will be a period of reorganizing ourselves. And that's totally normal. That's natural. That's normal. That's okay. And the most important thing right now, I know that Joe and I can both do, is give ourselves the space and time to go through that process. Thank you all for being our friends. I will say that Joe and I are committed to building a friendship coming out of this. And that will take time. Just like with any other relationship, when there's any kind of falling, things take time to heal, and that's okay. That's normal. That's human. And, you know, we're going to talk about it because here's the thing, right? Like, I'm human. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but I am very, very human. And remember, as I record this podcast, as I've gone through this process, oh, Soul is 1 year old, by the way. That's crazy. I don't know if any of you saw my Facebook post the other day or Instagram post, but the Soul Method is officially 1 year old, which is pretty stinking cool. So as I've been going through this process over this past year of working with clients, coaching, doing this podcast, obviously really digging into some of these topics, I am learning right along with you. I hope you know that everything I say to you, I am also saying to myself, right? I may be a little bit further along from you just because I've been doing this work for so long and I'm really in it on a regular basis. However, I am still human. I am imperfect, and I could not be more grateful for all of the lessons that I have learned over this past month. And, you know, I learned a long time ago that when you hit a really low point in your life, right, when you hit a rock bottom moment, when it feels like your world is falling apart, where everything you knew, everything you planned for, everything that you had hoped for, when everything falls apart, the most important thing you can do in that moment is pick something to take with you. Those are the lessons that you need to learn. Never leave a rock bottom moment with picking up a lesson. Okay. So now I am not here to talk about Joe. I'm here to talk about me. Because here's the reality, and I know this from myself and from working with several clients, is that when a relationship ends, it doesn't matter what kind of relationship. It can be a romantic relationship. It can be a friendship. It can be a professional relationship. When a relationship ends or comes to a conclusion, I don't want to say 100% of the time, because there always is some like weird outlying situation, but 99.999% of the time, the majority of the time, when a relationship ends, neither party can look at themselves and not take a piece of responsibility for that relationship ending. Okay. You know, my mom always used to say to me growing up, it takes two to tango. And so did Joe screw up? Yeah. Yeah, I did. Did I screw up? Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I'm not here to talk about Joe. I'm here to talk about me and share with you what I've learned through this process. And so that is what we are going to get into today. And, you know, I would really challenge you, if you've ever been in the place of breakup or a career ending or a friendship splintering, maybe a family member, and you come to like a big argument, something happens, and you're in the place of looking at the other person and saying, he did that or she did this. That's a really dangerous place to be in. I'm going to be straight up with you. That is an incredibly dangerous place to be in when you have a relationship ending and all you do is blame the other person. I can promise you that if you live out of that place of blame, that scenario will consistently repeat itself in your life until you learn the lesson. This is the situation where we continue to have the same relationship with multiple people. This is the situation where we continue to have the same work environment at different places of employment. So, if you're in a place that you don't want to be doing that anymore, because I'm not going to lie to you, like it can be terrifying. This process was terrifying for me at a very, very deep level because I discovered things about myself that I had no idea were in. I had no idea. And granted, like I've been doing this work for 5 years, right? So it's very easy as a coach to get to a point where you kind of feel like you got your shit together. Very easy to fall into that trap. And that's honestly why I have taken a bit of a break, a bit of a step back from the podcast, and now have come back to really be able to share with you guys what was going on, what I learned, and hopefully add value to you to take away and be able to have a step up from where I started. Right? So, yes, it can be terrifying to look at how you are responsible for what happened in that relationship. Really look at how you co-created it. However, if you don't do that, if you never look at it, you are powerless to create anything different in your life. If you want to create a different relationship, you have to look at how you were responsible for creating every relationship you've had before. And, you know, in Paradox, if you want to do the same thing over and over and over again, it's very simple. Don't take responsibility. Own nothing of your life. Blame everyone and everything else for your problems, and you'll stay exactly how you are forever. I'm sure you know people like that. I certainly do. And while I will love them, I have a very hard time being with them and in their life because they aren't ever interested in owning their life. So if you're interested in creating something new, you must be willing to own your actions at a very deep level. And we're going to get into it. If you're new to the podcast, maybe this is the first time you're tuning in, I really, really recommend that you go back. Go back, listen to the first 5 episodes of season 1, and definitely listen to the last episode of season 2, because those episodes provide the foundation for everything we are going to build on in this episode of the Soul Method podcast. And without that, you might be a little bit lost. The only exception to that would be if you've been in this world for a long time and you really feel like you have a handle on those things. So that's up to you. So going back to Joe screw up. Yeah, I did. Did I screw up? Yes, I did. And I want to be super clear that I am incredibly grateful for everything that I learned while I was with him. I am so incredibly grateful. So Joe, if you ever see this, please know. Thank you. When you hit those low moments, like I was talking about, the question to ask yourself, and maybe you can think about one of those moments right now where you hit a low point in your life. The question to ask yourself in that moment, and this is the question that my coach asked me in these past few weeks, right, is what did I say yes to that resulted in me being here when I should have said no? And what did I say no to that resulted in me being here that I should have said yes to? Your yes and your no will provide clarity for you. Examine it. Go back. Go back in time. Where did you say yes that was out of alignment? Where did you say no that was out of alignment? And identify it. Oh, sorry. I had to take a sip of my energy drink. Oh, okay, we're back. So one thing I did want to talk about is a personal commitment that I have to not have any bad relationships in my life. This is something that my coach challenged me to really look at, because there is this stereotype out there, and there's a few stereotypes that I would love to break. One of them I've talked about on the podcast before, the concept where you need to have had a terrible childhood to have an adult that experiences a like PTSD, or where you're dealing with trauma from your past, right? I really don't believe that any of us get out of childhood without experiencing some form of trauma. So I would love to break that stereotype. And this other one is another one I would love to break. And that is this concept where you need to hate your exes after you break up. I'm sorry. You guys know that I'm really blunt. If this is your first time, I apologize in advance. I think the stereotype where you must hate your ex after you break up is the dumbest, most immature thing on the planet. It's just dumb. Now, again, am I saying that you are close friends with them all the time and are around them a lot? Not necessarily. If you left a relationship where there was physical, domestic, verbal abuse going on and the other person genuinely needs medication or therapy or some form of help, that's not a situation that you want to enter again, right? However, dissolving your own judgment and hate around that past relationship has nothing to do with the friendship you may or may not develop with them. Right? And that's really why I want to completely bust through this stereotype, because hating or having resentment for an ex has nothing to do with the ex. It doesn't even have to do with how you exist or don't exist with them in the present. It has to do with the junk that you're carrying around with you simply because you're afraid to be right about it. And that's what I was talking about before. When you live out of this place of constant blame, of constant victim, all you're doing is picking up the junk and carrying it around with you. It makes it impossible to create anything else in your future. Energetically, you will feel it when you start to dissolve this. And it took me a while. It took me a year or so to really start to develop an amazing relationship with my ex-husband, which I will say I have a high respect for my ex-husband. Him and I have an amazing co-parenting relationship today. And I am incredibly grateful for how he shows up for our children. And I will always thank him for that. And personally, I don't have negative relationships with my exes. I'm either friends or acquaintances with all of them. And again, you might have a situation where entering that again could be devastating to you, could be physically unsafe for you. And I really get that. So please don't misunderstand. Please don't think that I'm saying or suggesting that you do that. What I am saying is that the important part is to release the judgment, the resentment, the hate for you so that you can enter a new space in the future and create something new for yourself. Because, you know, I've talked about this on the podcast before where a lot of times we misinterpret the power of manifestation or the power of attraction, right? We think that if we put checks up on our walls and constantly repeat to ourselves, you know, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire, that money's just going to show up, right? That's not how that works. Okay. You do not attract or manifest what you want, right? We can stand in a garage and say we want to become a car all day long. You will never become a car. Okay. You do not manifest or attract what you want. You manifest or attract what you energetically are. And if you energetically are harboring years and years of resentment and anger, hate in your field and in your body, because make no mistake, this energy manifests itself in your cells. Okay. It will come in some way. And if you hold on to it with such a tight grasp and are terrified to release it and refuse to release it, all it will do is continue to attract that same relationship, that same job, that same unfulfilling situation over and over and over again until you are willing to deal with yourself. Hard part. That's the scary part. I get it. I so get it. So, again, I would love to break the stereotype that you must hate an ex. Because here's the reality. At one point, you chose them. At one point, you probably loved them. And so for you, the most important part is whether or not you are developing an in-person relationship or not, right? Whether you are going to hold them with compassion in person or you're going to hold them with compassion at a distance. The point is that you are holding them energetically with compassion. But there's a process to get there, right? And we're going to talk about that thing. So now, with this whole hating your exes thing, like, I know why people do it. It is a million times easier to hate and blame someone instead of looking at your own junk, instead of looking at that place of co-creation, right? However, again, until we are willing to look at it, we will not grow. And that's how I grow. A little while ago, I shifted my mindset. And at some point, I really believe everyone kind of has to hit this place of ownership, right? You go from this kind of victim mindset that our culture just spews everywhere to finally hitting a point where you're forced in one way or another to start to be responsible. And we all have these moments in our life where sometimes it's a big thing and it kind of flips really fast, or sometimes we have these stackable moments where we mature. And that is how we grow. So today we're talking about anger, which is hysterical because I'm not going to lie. I have been planning this podcast episode out since I did my last one, which was all about love. And that was before Joe and I decided to end our relationship. So ironically, the universe has such a plan. You know, hindsight always is 20/20. And I never in my life have had astrology, the placement of the moon, and the planning, like the synchronicity of events that have happened over the past 6 weeks. I've never had it fall into place quite like this before. And for me, you know, as much pain and grief and anger that I've experienced over those past 6 weeks, looking at that and acknowledging that is exciting to me because that means that I'm in the flow. That means that I'm open to what's happening around me. That means that I'm receiving direction and guidance from my spirit guides. That means that I'm walking the walk and really digging. And so, you know, if you're in a moment right now where you feel like, you know, the shit hit the fan and you're pinching yourself a little bit, looking at your life, like what just happened? Like I woke up yesterday and everything was one way and now I'm looking at my life and everything is completely different way. Look back and see what led you here, right? See where the guidance was. Maybe see where you ignored some things, right? Where you said yes, where maybe you should have said no, right? So yes, I've been planning this episode for a while, and the beauty of it, the beauty of talking about anger today is that I, for the first time, I think I actually experienced and identified true anger in my life. I've experienced it multiple times before. I just never really identified it the way that I identified it as I was going through this process. So we identified love in the last episode of season 2. And to iterate, true love, true aligned, authentic love is living out of your yes and your no. That is the best way you can love someone and show someone how to love you, is living out of your yes and your no. Yes and no are two of the most beautiful words. You need both. And when you live out of them authentically, there's no mistake on your ability to love yourself and your ability to teach others how to love you. All right. If you have children, if you're a parent, this is how you teach your children how to live an authentic life. Be the example for them in living out of your yes and your no and teaching them how to do that. Okay. So again, I talk about that at length in the last episode of season 2. Go check it out if you haven't. So with anger and love always coexist. Anger and love always coexist, right? And I have a theory. I have a theory that what we identify as anger in our culture today, 99% of the time, is not actual anger. Most of the time, when we see a big emotion and identify it as anger, what we are seeing is a trauma response. We may identify it as, you know, that person's super mad, that person's super upset, they're angry. Actual anger. It's a trauma response from their past, from their own stuff that is being triggered by current events or a current conversation. Okay. It's not actual anger. And you know, what I see happen in relationships all the time, and this is what happened to me. Okay. We're going to talk about it. Until you hit the place of aligned, authentic anger. True aligned, authentic anger from a responsible point. You cannot communicate with love while releasing the outcome. So let's get into this because I know this may sound a little confusing and the distinction is very slight. Right. And this is why I missed this. This is why I have missed this in so many of my past relationships, because the distinction is very slight. But the result, once you identify this, is massive. As humans, we tend to communicate what we need while still trying to manipulate the outcome. That's called codependency. And that is absolutely what I did. That is a huge place in my relationship with Joe where I needed to take responsibility. It will never work. Relationships built on that type of communication will never work. And I'm identifying ways that I 100% did that in my relationship with Joe. And what that looked like is when I would communicate with him. Now, the things that I was communicating were genuine and authentic requests, right? Things that I really was asking him to lean into in our relationship. So the request was genuine, right? And this is the distinction. The request was genuine. The release of the outcome wasn't. So I was communicating to him in a way where I was still trying to have him feel a certain way after I communicated. So, example, I'm going to use a really generic example. I'm not going to necessarily use a personal one because it might be TMI. But really generic example. A genuine request for someone could be, hey, you know, my love language is words of affirmation. You know, my love language is like when someone tells me that I'm doing a good job or notices something that I did or tells me that I'm handsome or beautiful or, you know, celebrates me with words in any way, that is really a way that I light up and I feel excited. And that is a way that I receive love. And I really want to create more of that with you in our relationship. Right? Would you be willing to step into this place with me to co-create that? Because that's so important to me and genuinely and authentically for me, how I receive love. Okay. Now, there is a way to communicate that where you're owning it, like I just did. That was an example of someone who is owning the request and inviting someone into a conversation, right? That is a beautiful way to invite someone into leveling up your relationship, right? And then you can bounce around ideas. You can tell the person, you know, hey, you mean so much to me and I value what we're creating together. This is important to me and I really want to bring this to the table because it is an authentic part of myself. What's something authentic from you? How can we create something even more together? Let's dig deeper. Let's build higher. Right? That is someone who might have been doing this work for a little while. That is someone who has owned every piece of it. An irresponsible way to communicate that would be, you know, you need to make me feel loved. You don't tell me that I'm beautiful. You never notice X, Y, and Z. Like, well, I didn't mention that I got my hair cut. You know, I was waiting for you to notice. Right? That's seriously possible, aggressive. You know, if you've ever been in a relationship where it becomes a mind game thing, where you don't tell something to someone with the hope that they're going to notice it later, and then they don't, and you set yourself up to be defeated and frustrated. Yeah, that's irresponsible. Don't do that. Okay. Now, did I communicate to Joe from a responsible place? Yes, I'm proud of that. Yeah, I did. But what I didn't do was communicate to him in a way where I released the outcome. And what that looks like is giving him space to have any emotion that he needs to have. Because I was still communicating in a way where I was making my request so small and so insignificant that I disappeared in the process. Ladies, I'm speaking to you. Don't do this. Don't make your yes and your no so insignificant that they no longer matter because you're afraid of the reaction that your partner will have. They hopefully are a grown-ass man or woman who is like you, learning to be responsible for their emotions. And if they have a big reaction, give them space to have it. That's okay. Right? Because to be honest with you, I took this whole thing to my coach. I took it to her and I kept saying to her, I keep telling him, I keep making these requests in this super responsible way and he's not listening to me. Why isn't he listening to me? Why isn't Joe listening to me? Right? And you know what she said to me? She said, okay, well, why are you speaking in a way where he's not hearing you? And this is why I love my coach. This is why I love the work that I do. Because it's never about the other person. It's never about your other, your partner, your friend. It's never about the person who did you wrong or isn't doing the thing. It's about you. It was about me. At a very subconscious level, I was still trying to manipulate how he would feel after I brought my requests to him. And it was only in the moment at the end where I really released that things got real clear real quick. Now, in communicating authentically, it does not mean we are communicating messy. Right now, messy has a place. Messy has a big place in this. Messy is where something happens. Oh, tapping my computer. Something happens. We have an emotional reaction to it. Okay, this is the trauma response that we think is anger. It's not anger. It's trauma response. You know, someone says something to us, asks something of us, and we have, you know, all this stuff come up for us. Feeling a certain way, you know, I can't believe that happened. How could they ask me to do this? How could they say this to me? This is what's going to happen now. I can't believe, like, all this stuff, right? And messy is a great place to be in. But you never want to take your messy into the conversation with the person in question. All right, this is why I'm a coach. Why every week I pay my coach to sit down to be messy with. Right? Because she's a pro. And in that hour with her, I can get a million miles farther than I can with someone who is not trained. Granted. Y'all know who you are. I have friends in this life that I will be internally grateful for because they're the friends that I can be messy with, where I can call them and say, hey, yo, I need to get this shit out. I got to vent. I got to just like verbally vomit all this crap. And they'll say, okay, great, let's go. And they'll just sit and listen. They won't take me personally. They won't take anything that I say seriously because they know that what I am saying is just blah, 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 just to get it out. Right. A lot of times if I'm alone in those moments, I'll tap through that. Tapping, if you don't know what it is, also called EFT or emotional freedom technique. I have an episode in season one all about that and explaining it. It is phenomenal. Highly recommend it. Go ahead and look it up. So there's always a space to get the messy out and you have to do it. You have got to get the messy out. Because when you're messy, you're not actually angry. You're in a place of trauma response where all this junk is being dredged up. And it's a beautiful thing because that is an opportunity to release and look at so much stuff that you never would have had the opportunity to look at unless someone took a shovel to the bottom of the well. Okay, that's a glorious moment. Look, learn from it. Get all of the emotional stuff out before you bring the rational into it. Okay, and this is where, you know, we get into a lot of trouble in our culture. Is what happens a lot is that we bring the rational into the conversation too quickly. And if we don't release the junk before we bring the rational in, what we do is we wind up doing the blame game. This is where we wind up justifying. We do the make wrong, the make right, the shame game, the blame game, right? And all of our ego wants to do in these situations is to be right. Our ego is designed to protect us. And in that, it wants to be right about how this other person did me wrong. Right? And I talked about that to start out. That is such a dangerous place to be in. Because that is a place where you have all of this churned up, unprocessed emotion that actually has nothing to do with what's in front of you. Right? What's in front of you is just a trigger that is now scooping the mud off the bottom of the well. right? But now your ego, if we get to the rational point too quickly, is going to take all that dredged up crap and stick it right into that situation. And that's how we carry resentment on and on and on and on. You cannot hold someone with compassion until you process through your own emotion. That's why it took me a while to come back to the podcast. I really, really needed to look at all the ways that I had been right in this situation. I had to look at all of my own junk. And I had to be willing to not be right about it. That's another thing. Are you willing to not be right? Are you willing to release the right and wrong game and be with yourself and take ownership? I heard a long time ago that you can always tell who the mature one is in the room by the first person who apologizes. True leaders that I have had the opportunity to work with or meet, those are the people who are the first ones to say, nope, I'll take ownership of that. I'll take ownership of that. I'll be really honest with you guys. Would it have been incredibly easy for me to go to that place in this breakup? It would have been so easy. It would have been so easy to use everything in front of me, every reason that my ego was yelling at me, every right to justify being ugly to Joe. I could have used every reason in the world. I feel incredibly grateful that I'm at the point in my journey where I didn't do it. I made the choice not to do that. Have I done that before? Absolutely. I ain't no angel, guys. I've absolutely done that before. So have you. So have you. Okay. It's all right. It's not about whether or not we've done it, right? Everyone has picked up the stone of judgment and self-righteousness and thrown it at the other person. Right? That's okay. It's not about whether or not we've done it. It's about whether or not in this moment we are going to choose that, or we are going to choose to deal with ourselves. And when I say deal with ourselves, what that means is dealing with your own dredged up trauma response, right? Because like I said, you can't move. You can't move on to the place of holding someone else with compassion and having space for someone else's emotions or having space for grief and moving through that healing process until you let go of the trauma response, until you process through that. Right? So, if you are one of my friends who got those phone calls at 4:30 in the morning, I love you. Thank you. You're amazing. And you're awesome. And, you know, the biggest thing that I missed going through this, and that I have missed in producing this podcast, is that the point isn't not to need, right? The point isn't to not need things from our partner. The point isn't to not need things from our coworkers, from our friends, from society. The point is to need and make requests from an aligned and authentic place. And most of us, I think, honestly, will be continuing to grow into that place for the entirety of our lives here, because we are all imperfect human beings. We are human. We are a social species, and we will always need things from each other. And there's a huge difference between needing something from a codependent place and needing something from an aligned place. when you need something from a codependent place, you are placing the responsibility of your emotions on the other person. This would be like in that words of affirmation example that I used, that would be like saying, I need you to make me feel fulfilled by telling me that you love me 5 times a day, or else I'm not going to feel loved. Okay, that's codependent thing. I need you to do X, say X, or be X so I can feel like, right? That's a huge difference from saying, hey, in my authenticity as a human being, this is how I receive love. And I want to create an amazing relationship with you because I value you. So I want to share this with you. How can we create a situation in a relationship, in a friendship, partnership, where we both feel loved and validated? Because that's what I want, because I value you. And I value myself. Right? Huge difference. Huge difference. So again, the point isn't to not need. The point is to need from that authentic, responsible place and communicate our requests from that place. Right? And communicating those requests is love. That's love, guys. That's living out of your yes and your no. Anger is that authentic place defending itself. That is how anger is defined. Authentic and aligned love defending self. Because from that place, when you get there, and I'm sure everyone has experienced this and not really know what happened to them. When you get to that place of aligned and authentic anger and you're able to communicate it responsibly, it's never the other person's fault, but it is also a yes or a no that you will not accept anything else. Are you willing to co-create something with them? Absolutely. But in the end, it will always be that yes or that no. I want to tell you guys, you're allowed to set a high standard for yourself and ask other people to meet you there. You're allowed. Highly recommended. So, how are we doing? Are you guys good? Ooh, this was an emotional podcast to record for me. I am so happy to be back with you. It's exciting to be back in my studio. I would love to hear from you. I really, really would. I would love to hear from any of you who are my friends on a personal level. I'd love to hear from you guys if you're just fans of the podcast. And I have openings in my calendar if you're interested in working with me. I would be so happy to talk to you about that as to how I can support you on your healing journey. You can contact me through the Soul Method Facebook page, which is at the Soul Method Yoga, or you can email me. My email is Joelle, Joelle, at the Soul Method, thesolmethod.com. Thanks for being here with me today. I'll see you next time.